Testing, testing. Everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
You say something?
Can you hear me, Pete? That's what's important. Well, Mike asked me to come up and basically give a testimony of my life, what I've been through, and how I became a Christian, how God came into my life, and then I'll give a short teaching that I just wrote some stuff up. So basically what I'm gonna do is just give a quick synopsis of my life, what I've been through. So first of all, I came up from Florida last October, and this church has been an incredible blessing. Oh, stop. I get emotional easily, but this church has been an incredible blessing for me for just being here. It's just amazing, and I love it. So thank you. My first encounter with the spirit world, I'll start back then. I was a teenager, and my brother and I, we used to run a trap line up above Star Lake, up in the hills. And one day I was talking to some people, and my Aunt Alice Peril, some of you people probably remember her, and I told her, well, I said, every morning I set my alarm for 5:30 and go run my trap line. So she says, well, why are you setting your alarm? Why don't you just ask your guardian angel to wake you up? I says, well, you can do that? And I'm like 17 years old or so, you know. So she says, yeah. So I said, well, what the heck? So I'll try it. So my next trip, I asked my guardian angel, wake me up at 5:30. I set my alarm for 5:35, just in case.
Insurance.
So anyway, at exactly 5:30, I heard the voice, Doran, wake up. Very, very clear, very loud, and it just blew me away. So then what I found out after that, like several days, it was exactly the same thing. One morning, I didn't apparently wake up right away. And this guy, whoever it is, my guardian angel, actually nudged me in the shoulder, physically woke me up. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. It blew my mind. So that was my first experience in the in that world. So anyway, I graduated in 1959. I worked for my uncle, Charlie Peril, and for a year before I went into service. And his motto, he was a carpenter, his motto was perfect is close enough. And I lived by that. And that's exactly the way he was. So in March of 60, I went in the Air Force. I went to training camp, and then I went to technical school in Biloxi, Mississippi. When I got down in Mississippi, they asked me where I wanted to go, so I said, Northeast, obviously, right? So they sent me to Greenland. As Northeast as we can go, right? So then after a year up there, I went to Loring Air Force Base in Maine. I was radio radar technician. And in 1962, I married Marcia Hooley. You guys, probably some of you might remember her. Happy Hooley and Veronica were her parents. And I did a stint with those guys for almost 5 years. And then in December of 64, when I was about ready to get out of the Air Force, a guy, his name was Ed Walsh, I still remember his name. He was in human resources at IBM in Burlington, Vermont, or Essex Junction. And he called me on the phone, and he says, you're getting out in a couple of weeks, yeah? I don't know who this guy is even, you know? He said he identified himself as working for IBM. So he says, do you want a job? And I said, yes, I do. So he says, you're hired. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, no interview, no nothing? He says, you're hired right now. He says, I'm gonna put you on the books. And then all of a sudden I realized that my old buddy, maybe some of you guys remember, probably do, Bill Devereaux, yep. He went to IBM there in 57, and he was their IBM plant lead engineer. And these guys happened to be good buddies. So that's how that turned out. So I went to work for those guys, and I was there for, I don't know, 20 some years, almost 30 years. I took an early buyout because management shifting around and messing up with our retirement. So then a friend of mine, after I was out for a while, a friend of mine he went to work for one of our guys who had a startup business in the electronics business in California. So he needed some guys, so I got two other guys. We went out there, and I couldn't find a church out there. A friend of mine took me to a church, and it was like going into this massive multi-billion-dollar hotel or something. You know, they had their lobby was almost as big as our church, and everything, you could see like money dripping off the walls practically, and it was just, and that's all they talked about was money, money, money. It was unbelievable. So I said, you know, that's not for me. So we spent about 8 or 9 years out there, and kind of got away from my walk with the Lord. But when I was in Fishkill, I worked 3.5 years. We got like 3.5 years of technical college in 1 year at IBM after I went there. And I was a good candidate for those guys because I had just spent 5 years in electronics world in the Air Force. So when we spent 1 year there, when I got out of there, we went to St. Albans, Vermont. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. That was not a nice place. It was drug-ridden town. It was a key spot for drugs because they immediate access to the Canadian border. There was drug runners constantly. And we even had our own satanic church just around the block from him. It was amazing. So we spent some time there. We were there for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe 10 years. I think it was like 10 years we were there. And one day I was on the way home, and it was like I heard a voice. It says, "Get ready to move." And I'm thinking, wow. And when I got home, as soon as I walked in the house, my wife says, "God told me we're going to move." And Marcia had a walk with the Lord. It was unbelievable. She was able to know things in advance. Like, for instance, she would tell me, she said, "Expect a phone call from New York because something not so good just happened. I don't know what it is, but expect it." And that happened several times. And sure enough, I mean, ran out of money. And she had this walk with God. It was unbelievable. Way ahead of me. It was unbelievable. So we moved to Essex Junction, and a gal that had babysit for us in Vermont, or I mean in St. Albans, Vermont, she had, we're moving on. She got married and she had like 4 kids. And about that time she got a divorce. She didn't have a good husband. And when we moved to Essex, the whole crew moved in with us. So we had Lisa and 4 kids living with us for about a year. And one night Marcia was ministering to Lisa, and I was in my bedroom, and I was just getting ready to go out, and I had this big old brass bed with my hand on the bedpost. As I was walking around, I was like that, transported to somewhere. And it was not a dream or a vision. I was physically, not physically apparently, but spiritually I was there. It was like a huge, endless room with a big wall on one side, and just thousands of people walking underneath me. I'm suspended in air, and they're like ghouls. I mean, just walking around, bumping into each other, no expression on their face, nothing. And I tell you what, that was fearful, because what am I going to think, right? I must have just died. I must have just had a heart attack and died or something, and now I'm in hell, right? What else could I think? Because it was so real. So then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. I have all my life. I was a Catholic most of my life, but I believed Jesus Christ was my Lord, or not. I didn't live by Jesus as my Lord. I didn't have that kind of life, but he was my God and my Savior. So then I got angry. My fear turned to anger, and I'm yelling at God, "I don't belong here because I believe in Jesus Christ." So God said, "Okay." So all of a sudden, this wall next to me just exploded. It just blew wide open. It was like outer space. And there was this light that was just indescribable. And it was so brilliant I could hardly look at it. But it was not so much the light as the energy that came from this light. I tell you, I felt like the most insignificant speck of dust in the universe. And I tell you what, I can't even describe the fear that engulfed me. It was just beyond description. It was absolutely amazing. God, right, just grabbed onto me. So anyway, next thing I know, I'm back in my room, my bedroom, and I'm still hanging out. If I hadn't hung onto my bedpost, I would have fallen on the floor because my body was literally convulsing in fear. It was just unbelievable. So meanwhile, my wife is in the other room, dining room in the house, ministering to Lisa, and all of a sudden Lisa just yells, "Marsha!" And she says, "Well, what's wrong?" And she says, "You literally started to disappear." Wow, that blew her away. And then she said, all of a sudden, the whole room turned like a golden glow. That's amazing, presence of the Lord. So they started to come out of the room to come down and get me. She couldn't leave the room because her aura was so strong, it set off the fire alarm. So she stayed in that room, and I waited for me to come up to see her. I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience. And they talked through all of that. So anyway, as time went on, the next day, actually I went to a good friend of mine who was a Christian at IBM. He had been kind of preaching to me, and he was really into God. He and God talked back and forth, I mean, like they were good buddies. And finally God told him to leave me alone, that God was going to deal with me. So God dealt with me. The next day I went to work, John says, "God just told me to invite you to a meeting." So what happened was, there was a charismatic priest in Albany, New York, came up there and had a meeting, and I went to his meeting, and this guy was unbelievable. He manifested so many gifts of the Spirit. I mean, people were healed. He was praying in tongues and prophecy and just anything you can imagine. And for 1 year, this guy came up. His name was Alan Tammany, and he was a Catholic priest, but he was a charismatic Catholic priest, and he moved strictly in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was there for 1 year. And the very last night he was there, there was probably close to 80 people in there. And of course, probably 99% of us were Catholics. So they had just excommunicated him from the Catholic Church because of what he was teaching. So he told us, and I'm not here to demean the Catholic Church, and I'm just saying this is what happened. So, at that time, I had left the Catholic Church, and my wife had also. So, he says, for everyone that wants to leave the mother of harlots, move over here. So, about half of us, about probably 40 people, moved over. And I thought I had left the Catholic Church, but apparently it didn't leave me, because when I moved, when I was standing there, I literally could physically feel chains falling off my shoulders. It was incredible. And I felt my body was actually being levitated. I mean, I felt like I wasn't even standing on the floor anymore. It was absolutely incredible experience. So anyway, Alan Tammany and his crew, he had several of them. They moved to, I think it was Miami. God told them to go down there. And this was an incredible experience too. God told him, find the house you want, make sure it suits all your needs, go to the owner and tell him I sent you. So they did that. The house was given to them. They didn't pay a nickel for it. Then he says, make a list of everything you need in the house, from silverware, toilet paper, whatever it is, make a list and go to this particular store, tell the manager, the guy in charge, I sent you. Everything was given to them. They never paid a nickel all the time they were there for any of that stuff. So they were there for some years, and we were going to go down to meet him, to see him. And we got down as far as Boynton Beach. We stayed with a friend of mine, and we called down to Alan's place, and Alan had kind of disappeared. Because he was constantly ministering in the streets, and more he was staying, more and more. And finally, he just left home and moved right into the streets. And that's where he was ministering. It was amazing. So anyway, another thing that while I was at IBM, one of my nephews, through Marcia, it was her nephew, he was having an incredible experience with God also. So we talked back and forth through IBM internet, And he was just on fire, absolutely on fire with the Lord. He sent me stuff. It was unbelievable. So he came up and stayed out like a few days or a week with us. And he knew God had spoken to us. And so he asked Marcia, he says, how do I get God to speak to me? So she said that night, she said, well, ask God. Maybe God will speak to you. So that's all we know. So sometime in the middle of the night, this guy weighed probably 250 pounds. He come crashing to the house and Marshall, Uncle Doran, God just spoke to me. So I'm ready to jump up and go out and have a conversation with him. And Marcia says, well, that's nice. Go back to bed and we'll talk about it in the morning. I'm thinking, Marcia, she says, well, let's talk about it in the morning. And he probably didn't sleep all night. So anyway, he finally heard the voice of God, and it was amazing. And every Monday night to this day, we do a Zoom. He lives in Ohio, and we do a Zoom, we have a Bible study. So another thing that happened there, some of my old friends from St. Albans came to visit me, and this happened a couple of times. And they came on my front door, and we opened the door, and they couldn't come in the house. All of a sudden, they had an excuse or a reason they had to be somewhere else. So I said, okay, Lord, what's with that? And we were known as the Jesus Freaks in St. Albans. Well, so I said, well, okay, what's with this? So God told me, he says, go outdoors and really turn on your senses. And this is like a Star Wars thing, the Force. He says, turn on your senses and then just walk in the house. And I started to walk in the house, and I could not get through. There was a force field, literal force field. I could feel it physically. And I really had to push my way through it. And God said, that's why these people can't enter your house. And, of course, after that, it wasn't there for us. We never noticed it after that. It was amazing. Another experience I had there, we had a swimming pool, and one day I was out. I was just in my bathing suit, no shoes, nothing, just my bathing suit. I'm completely bare. I was cleaning up around outside, and I moved this huge rock. And unbeknownst to me, there was a bee's nest under it, and it was these big gray ground wasps. And these guys are mean. They're like a bumblebee, and they're really mean. They're really bad. Instantly, my body was almost completely covered with these things. And if I hadn't been in the Spirit of God, I would have been dead for sure. But anyway, this absolute incredible peace came over me that I can't even begin to describe. It was just absolutely amazing. And the bees, and I'm watching the bees all over my body, but I just felt like one with nature. It was just so incredible. And finally, they just left me. I never got stung once. It's an absolutely amazing experience. And another guy that came into our country, I'm sure some of you guys might have heard about him, Charles Finney. You ever heard of him? He was a preacher man. And back in, probably the 30s or so, he was way back when. And he came into, one time when he came into Governor, they stayed in a hotel. Three guys came before him, I think it was 3 days before Finney got there. They locked themselves in their room, and the attendants in the hotel, they never went in. They were never allowed in the room, so they don't know what went on, except that they could hear constant moaning and groaning in this room. And these guys were just preparing the atmosphere before Finney got there, ridding opposition. So that, to me, was amazing. So anyway, as years went on, we somehow hooked up with a preacher in West Palm Beach, Florida. His name was Benny Skinner. And a few times we got together with him. And the last time he came to Vermont, he actually came up to visit us. And he preached about going behind the veil. And of course, we knew what going behind the veil was, because the veil was rent when Jesus died. So, but anyway, he based it, of course, on the Old Testament, when the high priest went in behind the veil. And if he messed up, he didn't come out. He was dead. So anyway, the difference, Benny said, is when we go behind the veil, we make a proclamation that we are entering behind the veil in the throne room of God, and we will reside there. And that spirit, it literally changed our lives. I mean, the Bible seemed to like open up even more than just the scriptures opened up, and it just changed our lives. It was absolutely amazing. And there was another preacher named Bill Britton in St. Louis, Missouri, who was a good preacher we listened to all the time. He had come to visit us also. He rejected that message. So God told me, he says, and Benny, I think Benny had been to his church, but he rejected. So God told me, he says, I want you to go to Bill Britton's church and preach this word. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm just a baby. I mean, these guys have been preaching longer than I've been on the planet. And it scared me. And God said, you just go. He says, I'll be with you. Everything will be fine. So I said, well, okay, I'll do it. So I went to St. Louis, Missouri to Benny's church. They had a big conference going on. And it turned out to be a big social session. You know, hardly anything was preached. Everybody was having fun and all kinds of stuff. And I finally told God, I said, I'm not going up there and preaching this word. I said, I don't care. You can kill me right here, but I'm not going up there. These guys will just tear me apart. So Bill was up there preaching, and unlike his usual methods of operation, he saw one of his old buddies who was a preacher from Indiana, and he invited him up to share a word. Well, Bill was sorry he did that, because this guy went up there and just literally tore them apart. Like, this is not why we were supposed to be here. We were supposed to be here to preach the word, hear the word, and learn and grow in Christ. So I said, thank you, Lord. You've just paved the way for me. So I said, I'll go up. So I went up and preached the word about going behind the veil. And there was a small group of people that completely received it. They said, yes, God has been showing us the same thing. And Bill told me afterwards, you know, he rejected it again. Shortly after that, Bill Britton had a heart attack and died. Later on, I got a phone call from who was the assistant pastor at that time, David Tice. And he says, you won't believe what happened. He says, one day we're getting ready for a meeting. Kids were running all over the place, making a lot of noise. And he says, all of a sudden it started to get quieter. And we looked around, and the kids, all age groups, were raising their hands and praying in tongues. And they're like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came over them. Everybody was just raising their hands and praying in tongues. And he says, we were like this for about an hour. And he says, if you think you can do that, try it. You can't do that on your own. You can't hold your arms up in the air for an hour. He says, it's impossible. And he says, that's where we were for like an hour, just praying. And he says, from that day on, the church just was wide open. The Holy Spirit moved in, and the resistance was gone. He said, it was absolutely incredible. So America, what's going on in America? I think angels who are in charge of taking care of this place are probably in rehab by now. I mean, this place is going nuts, it's crazy. But always be very, very sincere in what we pray for. Jesus said, as he is, so also are we in this earth. We are one with God. That means to me, when we speak, with power. We speak, our words are created. So be very careful. And I learned this, of course, I learned this years and years ago, but I find myself doing it all the time, especially with the politicians we have in office today. And God has really nailed me for this. He says, pray for them. Don't be, you sinner, you this, you that. And it's like a thought came in my mind. This raised hand can also be a lightning rod. So, not just for prayer, but God could just nail us. Who knows? He says, do not speak a bad word. Pray for people. So, he says, if that person is a sinner or if he's in bondage, every time you call him that, you are keeping him, you are keeping that person in bondage because you have spoken that word. So we are here to release creation, and that's a part of it. So One quick story too. I've got more to go on. These are just my thoughts going on. There was a young, this is a story I heard about a young Indian lad who went to the Indian tribe wise man and says, why is it that there are good men and there are bad men? So the old guy says, well, simple. He said, there are two wolves living inside of us. We related to the soul and the spirit, right? And he says, they're all fighting each other all the time. So the Indian lad says, well, who wins? And the wise man says, the one you feed the most. And that's a perfect lesson for all of us to remember. Praise God. So, oh, here's one. I don't remember where this scripture is. I just scribbled this down here a little while ago. And there's a scripture in the Old Testament, and I don't remember. I mean, you guys probably know where it is. I was kind of like Paul. He says, well, it's written somewhere. So that's good enough. And it's about, I'll ad-lib this. It's, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will come and heal their land. So America's not a lost cause. If we grab onto this word and pray fervently for America, if the whole Christian church did that in this country, according to God's word, he will come and heal this land. I mean, it's hard for us to believe it could happen, but God's part for God. Okay, now the rest of this, that was my personal testimony. The rest of this is just a teaching that I wrote up, so rather than try to remember anything and read it and forget something, I'm going to just read it. Okay? And Armando has set me up with some scriptures so that when I mention the scriptures, we can see them on the screen. And I'll try to read them from here. Maybe I'd be better if I went down there, I guess. Okay, here we go. And this, what I'm going to start with is exactly what just happened in our church. Okay? A paralyzed man was brought before Jesus to be healed. Their faith made him whole, not just the faith of the man healed. Same with us. Our faith can make sick people whole, physically and spiritually. We can carry them to the Lord in prayer. That's why we have a prayer list to continually remind us. Now, what just happened here? And I ask the Lord about this all the time. Why can't I just lay hands on somebody and see a healing? Because that has happened before. I've seen people healed like that. I mean, serious stuff. And then sometimes like this, we were praying for her, laid hands on her, we were praying for her, and we sent her in an ambulance. Personally, I don't think that should happen. We should never carry a person out of a church, Christian church, in an ambulance. Why is it that we can't just heal, right? I don't know the answer to that. Is it maybe in my case, lack of faith? Maybe in our case, lack of faith? I don't know. Remember Jesus said, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Well, why can't we just always heal like the apostles, right? The way they walked, they healed. Jesus healed everybody all the time. There were no failures there. I don't have the answer to that. Maybe it's because it's God's purpose. I don't know. Who knows? Take that question to God, and when you hear an answer, let us all know. So, as all children must learn lessons of life through hearing or trials, so must we. Sometimes we wonder what the trials are all about. How did we sin against God? I believe more often than not, God is putting us through the refiner's fire, just as tempered steel is to refine our faith. He sets a goal for us, then seems to put barriers in front of us so it cannot be achieved by means we have known in the past. We know that. We finally give up and let him move through us to accomplish what we have been struggling with. He drives us into himself for the answer. Now, according to Armando.
Just a minute, I got to turn
that. What's that?
I got to turn the screen on a second.
Oh, okay. According to Armando, if I just push this little button here, I can.
You got to come back on again. My shutter's not solid enough. It's the minus 8.
We know this works because we tried it a little while ago. Or it used to work. How can you tell if it's on or not? Oh, the door is closed, Armando. Up front.
Oh, I got the wrong door, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to put Armando through a training session here. Okay. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we also walk in the Spirit. That's who we are. Lay down all anxiety as to how we are going to serve God. I'm still working on this one. Not so much anxiety, but a concern. How do I serve God? That's been my question forever. God, how do I serve you? What do you want me to do? Never wish you were someone else because of what they are doing. God will deal with us individually as he pleases. We all make up the body of Christ, and each of us is different and serve a different purpose. Stay free. Don't be anxious about how we are to please God. We're not supposed to be like Christ. We are to be the Christ. Christ just simply means anointed one. He is, so also are we in this earth. He is the head, we are the body. We cannot be separated. We as Christ, along with Christ, we are the anointed one as a whole with him, the head and the body. Now, let's go through some scriptures.
Okay.
Down here.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to have a training class. There we go. I can't see this from here. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. What do I got? 1, 2, 6. Whoop. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceit. Deceitful plotting. Whoop, here we go again. But speaking the truth in love, may all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from the whole body joined and knit together by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ephesians 5:30, okay? Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say into the seeds as of many, but as one, and your seed, who is Christ. Verse 29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now, that scripture to me basically tells that we are the Christ in this earth. To me, it's very plain. Christ lives in us, God lives in us, we cannot be separated. As he is, so also are we. Jesus is the head, we are the body. What else we got here? Whoop, there we go. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Okay, I'm going to stay right here as long as I can read right here. Love flow must start somewhere with someone. then flow out through the whole body as strength and nourishment, which causes growth. As a member of the Christ in this earth, to groan in the spirit or pray in tongues is to simply yearn for the release of all creation from its bondage of death. We have a responsibility to give life and freedom to all creation. For too long, man has been too deaf and sin-minded to release anything, including himself. The groaning is the inner man, the spirit man, turning unto God and freeing and feeling the cry of all creation to be set free. Anytime I don't please God, I feel I have God and all creation down. That's the weight that I bear. Now, I'm not trying to push on anybody to speak in tongues. That's not even close to what I'm saying. I'm saying we have received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people preach, well, if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to pray in tongues. I think that's a bunch of baloney. God will bestow on us whatever gift he wants us to receive. So this is not a word of condemnation, this is a word of life. Okay. Mankind, this goes for mankind, basically. Ignorance of reality holds us in bondage. The truth sets us free. Columbus did not have to overcome the abyss at the edge of the world. Truth proved it did not exist. The mind of man that taught that false belief is the same mind that taught the world about God. Now we are trying to see and understand the truth that will dispel all the lies and be set free. We really don't need to understand God, which we can't, just believe. And this reminded me of a story I heard of a Catholic priest who was spent his entire life trying to understand God, which we can't, it's beyond our comprehension. And he was tearing himself up about it. So one day he was out walking on the beach. This is a true story. He was out walking on the beach. He came across a little girl who was digging a hole in the beach with a shovel. So he just walks up and says, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm digging a hole in the beach. What are you going to put in it? She says, I'm going to put the ocean in it. So he says, you can't put the ocean in that hole. And she said, well, it's no harder for me to put the ocean in this hole than it is for you to understand God. Obviously talking to an angel, right? So, doesn't our mind always try to separate us from God? Even if we say we are filled with Christ, and he knows the separation just like a glass in the water contains. We are the Christ with him. God is an integral part of us. We are the temple. Now, a glass of water, you can pour water out of a glass. They're separate. Even though it's filled with it, you can't pour God out of us because God is one with us. Jesus said that. He says, we will come and live within you. We will be one with you. He says, that's why I'm one with the Father. I'll be one with you. You'll be one with me. So it's not, when we say we're filled with the Spirit, it's not like a glass of water that you just, you know, pour it out. Jesus, we are one with him. We are one with the body. Okay, there are people in this world who do things that our minds do not allow us to do. Why? Unbelief is the great showstopper. There's an instinct within us that knows the truth, but our mind, which has been conditioned by the mind of the world, cannot conceive that this is possible for us. Consequently, we accomplish nothing and get frustrated in our own inadequacy. And at this point, another story came to me that I had read about a Catholic priest who was somewhere in the jungles, down South Africa, I don't know where. And he hooked up with a tribe, and he lived around a bay like this. The whole village was around a bay. And he was teaching them the scriptures, and they were wide open. He was, you know, teaching them whatever he could teach them. And when he was teaching them about Jesus walking on the water, and actually Peter walked on the water with him, their mind, their simple mind, grabbed onto that. So if they wanted to go from one side of the bay to the other, they literally walked across the water to the bay, across the bay. And of course he says, there's no way I can do that because my mind has been preconditioned by the world, our way of thinking. And that's the way of God. I mean, it's a simple, simple thing, simple faith. Of course, we're conditioned by the world. We have always been conditioned by the world. So how do you get by that? Where am I here? The physical man is not the true man. The inner self, or spirit man, is the God self, the one who has the universal creative mind. In each one of us, there is a marriage going on between the soul man, and the spirit man, which is life. The spirit man is life, and truth, and light and truth, and sees through the light. Then we shall manifest the truth of who we are. Jesus did not have to walk by faith. He was God in the flesh. The marriage between soul and spirit in him was complete. The apostles at Pentecost melded into one mind, became one, overcame the barriers of the mind of man, and entered into Christ's consciousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that happened that day is available for us today if we don't believe. Where am I here?
1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Whoop, we go again. That's the wrong one. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11.
Go back one more time. What is that there?
12, 12. I don't see 1 through 11. Well, anyway, this goes on to Romans. I'm missing a couple here, Armando. One Corinthians. Maybe I went ahead of myself. 12, 7 through 11. Anyway, my scripture there was 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And I don't know how I missed it, because we just went through all this and it was working great.
1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11.
1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. You want to read that?
Yeah, I'll read it. That's the name.
Because I really need for you to hear the scriptures to back up what I'm saying.
1 Corinthians 12.
1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11.
7 through 11. Okay, should have been there. Yeah. 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given to the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift or healings by the one Spirit, to another miracles, powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of tongues. All this are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. E pluribus unum. We've all heard that. We've all seen it. What does it mean? One out of many. Unity out of diversity or multiplicity. One expressed through many. That's us. Christ expressed through his church. That's us. E pluribus unum. Be patient in being chastened or corrected. Through it all, I hear him saying, you are chosen. I love you, Christ. In that, I do not lose sight of the mark. Okay, let's see what we got here. I don't see it. How did I get out of sequence here, Amanda? I want Proverbs 3:12. Wow, I'm really messing this up.
You're fine. Proverbs 3:12.
Yeah.
I'll get it. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in.
Amen. Praise God. The death that works in us becomes life in those we minister to. God is choosing the weak, the foolish, and those less likely to succeed to pull this off. So don't worry about performance. Realizing this should keep us in a state of humility. Amen to that. So we can't boast in ourselves. It's all about God. Okay, 2 Corinthians
4. I don't know if I should even try to continue this anymore. Well, this worked so good before.
2 Corinthians 4.
7 through 12.
7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, I hope I can get this across without confusing you. We are like a ray of light among innumerable rays of light, which together make up the light, which is universal, but each ray is light. We are the Christ light, and this is the Christ principle. So me, as a ray of light here, amongst innumerable rays of light, we make up the light, which is the Christ light in this earth. And our purpose, obviously, is to show the world the light of Christ as a corporate body. Ignorance of reality, this is about mankind in general even, ignorance of reality holds us in bondage. Truth sets us free. Illusions don't have to be overcome, but simply removed from our mind by the truth, such as when Columbus sailed past the edge of the world. The laws of heredity are manifestations brought about by the mind of man and can be set completely aside at any time by the regenerated mind of Christ. True knowledge will set aside false beliefs. Fear is self-inflicted. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "No man or no one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Same with fear. It's a self-inflicted wound. It's like the story of Jesus when he slept in a boat that was in a storm. The apostles were in panic mode. He was sleeping. Two different sets of mind. That's why we have to have the mind of Christ. Mankind lives in sort of a state of hypnosis, which is a partial or false state of true consciousness. The illusions of this state of mind are the limitations and infirmities we live with because we have not accepted the truth of our inheritance of who we really are. As light disperses shadows, knowledge dispels ignorance. If we can reverse the idea that we're only material beings and retain the truth that we are truly spiritual beings, created in the image of God, that day we shall be set free. If man in his own mind can return to his beginning, he can inherit through his own mind that is that which is from the beginning. His inheritance, God, is from one source and not from the channels through which he passes. A stream of water is a flow of water from its source and not from the banks which it flows. It gathers water from its source, but only mud from the banks. Christ's consciousness is like a filter to cleanse this mud from the pure water that we can see, which is exactly as the source. This is the mind of Christ, setting aside false beliefs of the mind of man. Thus man does not have to endure his false heredity from man, but as a spirit being with an expanded or Christ consciousness can free himself. Maybe some are like me. I never feel I'm doing enough in bringing forth the kingdom of God. I believe that's what our purpose is, to bring forth the kingdom of God. I never feel that I'm doing enough. I don't have any special talents or gifts. I just try to have a good life and satisfy God. And I'm almost done. It's hard to compare the acts of John the Baptist to those of Paul. Yet Jesus said there was no one greater than John. John was a witness to the light. So maybe that's it. That's why we're here.
How we act, what we do, what we say might be enough to just prompt people to think of Jesus. And the last point, this one really got to me. A guy by the name of George Matheson once said that he would be satisfied not to have a great tombstone over his grave, but just to know that common people will gather there and say, he was a good man. He never performed any miracles, but told me about Jesus, which led me to know him for myself.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's it, folks. And I think that's the only reason we're here, to teach people about Jesus, tell people who Jesus is, and be an example in how we live. And like someone once said, you know, you can teach Jesus without ever opening your mouth, and just how we live. So, one point I'd like to make is I'm reading a book right now that I would highly recommend to you guys. I mean, it's incredible book. It's called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's about one of the best books I have ever read. I'm only halfway through it. It's an incredible book. So anyway, that's it, folks. I'm done. Praise God.
Thank you for sharing, Mark.
Oh, don't do that.